Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of the Beatitudes, we were taught that sometimes we need to be willing to give up what we have in order for God to allow us to keep it. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Blooms.
Stories told of a young lady that I believe it was a violin that she played, and she knew if she became a missionary, she would be leaving that, and she couldn't be in her local philharmonic and some other things in which she was involved and was able to play before people and with orchestras and in solo presentations, and very good at what she was able to do. But God was calling her to be a missionary. And finally, one day, she said, okay, all belongs to Him. And she was willing to forsake the violin. She didn't think she'd be playing it. But it wasn't long after she had finished her Bible training and had got involved in a mission. She was overseas and found out she could use that instrument in the children's meetings and other meetings they were holding. She thought she wasn't going to be able to use that instrument again. She had to be willing to lose it, even though God had given her a great talent and ability. She had to be willing. If it will bring glory to God, are you willing for God to take your abilities? I think of Dr. Lee Robertson, who's now with the Lord. He had the voice, the quality of a pipe organ, very dynamic preacher. I remember hearing him in his prime. He knew how to exhort. But one day, his voice had problems. They had to do surgery. He was told that for 6 weeks, he could not speak a word. For 1 year, he could not preach at all. He didn't think that he may get to preach again. You know what he did? He just kept going on to work, working for the Lord in any other capacity he could. He didn't quit, didn't give up. Sometimes the Lord must remove a talent because it is our crutch. And we're leaning on the crutch instead of leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? Here's a lady, she fears to stay at home by herself at night, so she buys herself a little terrier dog that weighs less than 10 pounds. If you stepped on it, it would crush the life out of it. Yet its barking and presence takes her fear away, and she can stay at home with that little dog. Yet, if some big burglar comes through the door, breaks it down, there's not a whole lot that dog can do. We have to learn to lean on Jesus, not on our abilities. Our abilities are like that little terrier. You see, the poor in spirit says, my ability is from God. It's not my own. He gave it to me. I cannot make myself grow one cubit just by thinking. I cannot give myself an ability. I can only use what God has given me. And so when we have the right attitude, our attitude would not be angry with God if He took a talent from us. It's His. The piano player, a beautiful piano player, oh, just so talented, has a stroke, has an accident, and can no longer use one of the hands. Fingers are severed. And the question becomes, would we become bitter? Or would we continue to rejoice in the Lord? Yes, sometimes it's possession. Sometimes it's talents and abilities. Then other times it's family. Now, as a pastor, I've seen children break the heart of their parent. I've seen mates break their mate's heart. I've seen men through family problems, big men, tough men, reduced to tears and brokenness. I've seen the devastation of sorrow in death of loved ones. And what happens is that family, that child, ends up on the throne in the heart. And they have that place in the chamber that was designed in creation for God, but instead it's that child, it's that mate, it's that whatever it is that you worship on the throne in your heart. Some have made a god in that fashion out of their wife, their husband, or their children. Sometimes we'll hear parents say of other kids in school, but they just need to paddle them. They need to really put their foot down. But their child gets in trouble for doing the same thing. Then they're fighting mad. It was the school's fault. Every teacher is wrong about my child. Okay? And working with a Christian school, I've heard that. Well, you see, you live for them instead of living for God. Yes, you should love them and love them with all your heart. And honor them, but do so in response out of your love for God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, but do so because you're obeying God first. Children, obey your parents. Do so because you're obeying God first. Husbands, love your wives. Do so because you're obeying God first. Now let us look to Scripture for an example of what we're saying with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was probably one of the happiest men ever. I mean, he's 100 years old when his baby Isaac is born. Abraham's not only old enough to be his grandfather, he's old enough to be his great-grandfather, maybe even great-great-grandfather. And children are a crown to their grandparents. And they probably did some spoiling in Bible days, too. Now, it would have been possible for Abraham to become somewhat of a love slave to his son Isaac, to have him in his heart, to know the promises of God about what was going to happen with this son, how he was going to be the father of many nations. From this son would the tribe of Israel come. From this son would also Esau's tribe come. And he knew, he really knew that, boy, this was the one, this was the promise of God. And he loved his child. The son who was the fulfillment of God's promise. And as this child Isaac grows, his heart is knit to Isaac. And oh, maybe the chamber is given to Isaac. We're not told that it was, but it is the area in which God tried Abraham. He knew that this was the most precious part in Abraham's heart. And so the dreaded command comes to offer his beloved son, Isaac, on an altar. I don't know about you, but we're not told, but I just kind of believe that Abraham would have rather died than Isaac. On top of everything else, it wasn't just his son to die, but it was his hand that was supposed to take the knife and plunge it into him. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. The first time, the very first time the word worship is mentioned in the Bible, it has to do with Abraham being told to offer his son in a sacrifice, a bloody altar sacrifice, at the place where God would appoint. Look, that kind of worship doesn't make you feel giddy and emotional with great, good, happy feeling. Have you ever talked to a man who is in a drunken driving situation and he's lost a child? And you know that he knows it was a result of his sin. And there is a pain and even a bitterness of heart. And perhaps Abraham is having to face this pain. It'll be a 3-day journey to that mount, to Mount Moriah, which would later become the mount there in Jerusalem, where the temple would be built. And as he walks up that mount, he still doesn't know. He ties his son up, and his son's an adult son at this time. He binds him on an altar, and he takes a knife out and raises it up, getting ready to come down with it, when God hollers out, "Abraham, Abraham!" He had to holler it twice to stop him. And there was a ram that was caught in the thicket. But oh, my friend, this was the only way to assure that only God would be on the throne in Abraham's heart. I believe that Abraham thought that God would raise Isaac from the dead because this was the promised seed. And there might have been a problem of reconciling Isaac as the promised seed and then dying without children, but he probably thought, well, then, since he's the promise, God's going to raise him up. But his spirit is wounded for his son. I've had parents that have sick children and children that were nearing death's door. And oh, as any of us who are parents, we'd want to be in that bed and have God put whatever it is on them, on us, and let them live. I don't know if Abraham was trying to figure out why God allowed this in his life. The only thing that was left for Abraham was to believe God would raise Isaac from the dead. But this is where the Lord is on the throne in your heart. That's when you're poor in spirit, because you don't own your heart. You've given complete possession of it to the Lord. And you only go there as his child and servant. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Vance, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.